Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The name Judas is synonymous with betrayal, with treachery, with greed, and with handing over the innocent Jesus to sinful men who would see his death. Today we begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas. But what I want to lead us to do this night is to have recognition that it is most important for us to take a hard look at our own selves, even as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, as we will say throughout Lent during our gradual. St. Mark writes, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them." Mark's mention that Judas is one of the 12 highlights just how deeply the personal nature of this treachery is and the shamefulness of his betrayal. Judas had been chosen out of countless Jewish men to be one of the 12 apostles, a select group who had the privilege of being in the inner circle with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for 3 years. Judas knew firsthand the love and mercy of Jesus. He had witnessed his powerful miracles. He had heard the Beatitudes again and again. He had had the parable of the rich fool and warnings about greed drummed into his ears. He had gone out and preached in Jesus' name. He had heard the warnings about those things that he preached. As they all prepared for the judgment day, he'd heard the warnings about the people who had preached in the Lord's name and were shocked on judgment day to find out that their faithfulness had led them to hell. If you want to see an exhibit, the exhibit one, of someone who had all the right things taught to them but then rebelled against it, here's Judas. Judas had sought out the chief priest with an offer to hand over Jesus. And when they heard it, they were glad and they promised to give him money. The Jewish leaders, you see, they wanted to arrest Jesus inconspicuously in a location that wouldn't draw a crowd. They wanted to arrest him, and Judas would provide the ideal opportunity in the middle of the night, in an isolated garden. And as we know from the other Gospels, Judas, who was handling the money for the disciples, got a little greedy. He was a thief. He had made his way with some of the offerings into his own pockets. Perhaps our reading just last week was a bit too much. When the woman came in and anointed the Lord with the ointment of pure nard, and it was worth quite a bit of money, the Judas surely said, "We could sell and feed the poor," but really meant, "We could sell and line my pockets," had led him to betray Christ. Judas' plan was in place. But first he had to wait through the preparation of the Passover meal and the meal itself. At dinner, Jesus drops a bomb on the whole room. With the 12 reclining at table with him, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Try to picture those eyes, those 26 pairs of eyes, or those 26 eyes at the table, what they're doing. Jesus seems to be calmly looking around the table, knowing by his divine omniscience exactly who it is that is about to give him away. Mark says that they began to be sorrowful and to say, "Jesus, one after another, is it I? Can you picture them? Looking around the room with suspicion, wondering who must it be? You can picture the tears possibly streaming down some of their faces to express their grief at the very thought of someone being willing to betray Jesus. What were Judas' eyes doing? Did he look down in shame? Did he nervously glance around the room, hoping no one was staring at him? Did he put on a good show and act like the rest of them? Can't know for sure, but I bet it was the latter. What's striking about Mark's account of this scene is that Jesus doesn't mention Judas, doesn't name him. We don't hear that the traitor is Judas until the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark's account. Why do you suppose that is? Perhaps Jesus wanted each of the 12 to examine themselves, to see if they had the capability to betray innocent blood, to commit a treason against the Lord themselves. Perhaps Jesus was allowing Judas an opportunity to repent in private. Or perhaps Jesus' own words only further hardened Judas' heart, because what was about to take place was for our good. But you see, this is why we make confession every day. Why we confess our sins each week in church. As we need to examine our own loyalty to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bach does something rather interesting with this account from the Matthew account. In St. Matthew's Passion by Bach, it takes a fateful scene at the Lord's Supper and sets it to some sublime music. When it gets to the section where Jesus announces that the betrayer is at the table, part of the chorus sings the words of each of the disciples asking as if they are the traitor. In the German, it's Herr bin ich. This is straight out of Luther's German Bible. Lord, is it I? And then comes a confession to Jesus in the form of a chorale, sung by the whole chorus. It begins, Ich bin's. It is I. Here is the English translation of the chorale, this verse that I'm talking about. Confess to Jesus. It is I. I should atone, bound hand and foot in hell. The scourges and the bonds of what you endured, my soul has earned. It is I. Bach gets Judas' story right, highlighting that all of us have participated in the sin of Judas. We all have committed treason, turning against our Lord. That's what our sin is, after all. Betrayal of the King of Grace. And if you were to die in our sin, it certainly would have been better for us if we had never been born. That's why it's such good news when Jesus says in the upper room, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. And again in the garden, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. See, Jesus came specifically for this purpose, to be betrayed, to pour out his holy, precious blood and suffer an innocent death to atone for our sins, for Judas' sins, for the sins of the entire world. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There are deep mysteries here. Judas was morally culpable for his betrayal of Jesus and justly paid the price for his sin and his impenitence, even though the scripture had foretold that this would happen. God did not force Judas to do anything, but it was Judas' own sinful will, along with the devil's prompting, that led him to this. Yet behind the scene, This is what God wanted to see all along. The Father wanted to punish His Son for our sake. The Father wanted to hand over His Son to this death. And the Son went willingly out of love for you and for me and for all sinners. It's interesting here. The verb we translate as betray in this text can also have the simple meaning of to hand over or to deliver. In Romans 4, 24 and 25 says that faith will be counted for righteousness. To us who believe in Him who raised Him from the dead, our Lord Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Who did the handing over? Judas, to be sure, but above all, God the Father. The Father who loved the world this way, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who for us became a curse on the tree of the cross, and there we find salvation only in Him. We traitors, we Judases, and yet in baptism we have been washed blood. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the same one we betray. Don't try to hide your crimes. It makes no sense. Confess them. He is not surprised that you are sinners, that I am a sinner. He knew that. That is why He went to the cross to establish His kingdom of grace. And He knows that now, even as He forgives the sins of all who repent. For every time that we have betrayed Him, for every time that we have made promises to Him and we couldn't keep them, for all of the commitments that we have offered to our Lord and failed to keep, remember this: there is always forgiveness for you. There is forgiveness for you, even as the words of absolution drum into our ears, as the grace of baptism comes to our remembrance, as the forgiving, life-giving blood and body of Jesus are given into our mouths. That verb we translate as betraying is used by St. Paul in remarkable places in his writing. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he uses the verb twice there. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was delivered, took bread. I know we're used to saying betrayed, but it can be translated that way. But you see, what's most important here is that God the Father handed Jesus over to death for us, in our place. The apostles handed down to us the very words of institution for our Lord's Supper. And in that meal, Jesus hands His body and blood over to us for the forgiveness of our sins, for life and salvation. Now joined to Jesus, we have His sinless flesh and blood that covers our sinful flesh and blood. So remember this every day as you see and hear the precious words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And then you can come and sing for joy as we who have betraying eyes have now been given eyes of faith and can say with Simeon, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.